God's agreement with Abram. After these things happened, the Lord spoke his word to Abram in a vision. God said, Abram, don't be afraid. I will defend you, and I will give you a great reward. But Abram said, Lord God, what can you give me? I have no son. So my slave Eliezer from Damascus will get everything I own after I die. Abram said, Look, you're giving me no son. So a slave born in my house will inherit everything I have. Then the Lord spoke his word to Abram. He said, That slave will not be the one to inherit what you have. You will have a son of your own. Your son will inherit what you have. Then God led Abram outside. God said, Look at the sky. There are so many stars you cannot count them, and your descendants will be too many to count. Abram believed the Lord, and the Lord accepted Abram's faith, and that faith made him right with God. God said to Abram, I am the Lord who led you out of Ur of Babylonia. I said that I could give you this land to own.
Well, we're going to be doing some thinking about different types of promises. Thank you. We're going to be thinking, can I really trust God? Is God serious when he makes his promises? Because there are different types of promises, and some promises are more serious than others. And we're going to be thinking about four different promises. I would have asked for volunteers, but I think people are sensible enough not to volunteer in an all-age service because no one knows quite what's going to happen. Chris and Josh, would you be up for it? Thank you very much. You're very kind. Fergus and Katie, do you fancy coming up and helping as well? Katie's shaking her head very vehement. I'm trying to think who else looks like a teenager. Brian Dodd, could you come up and give us a hand as well? Boys and girls, if you're sitting near a grown-up who has free text messages, you don't hear this very often, but can you ask them to turn their phone on in church? I know that's very shocking. If they start checking their emails, tell them off. But if you could ask them to turn their phone on and put that number in, because we're going to text in the answer to what we think, some answers to these questions in just a moment. We need someone else. Who else? Megan, are you going to come up and help as well? Thank you. That'd be great. Okay, let's do this in order. All right, Josh, can you come here and hold this up for me? Nice and high so everyone can see it. So this is a letter A, and underneath there is a heart with a cross through it. Because what has happened is that Josh has found a worm. All right, he's found a worm, and he's saying, I will give you £10 if you eat it. Right, is that the kind of thing you'd say, Josh? No, okay. Well, he looks like a pretty trustworthy chap, doesn't he? But we say, Josh, how can I know you're being serious? And he says, cross my heart, hope to die, stick out your finger in my eye. That sounds quite serious, doesn't it? Okay, so we've got the worm, he's got his heart crossed, cross my heart, hope to die, stick a finger in my eye. Okay, number two. All right, Megan, there we go. Can you come and hold this up nice and high? So Megan is saying, can you lend me £10 today? And if you do, they're acting. This is all acting. And they're doing a brilliant job. Lend me £10 today, I promise I'll pay you back £15 next week. And she's serious about it. So she's got a legal contract here drawn up. Stick that on there. Brilliant. So say just that. So she's put it in writing, and she's got her name on it. All right. Chris. It's a big, big day for Chris. It's a really big day for Chris. He's getting married today. All right. There we go. Thank you very much. He's got the suit from Moz Bros. He's making a really big promise. He's making a promise to someone that he will be with them for better, for worse, for richer, for poorer, in sickness and in health, and till death us do part. Right? He's making that promise in front of all of his friends and family here today. It's a big day for Chris. All right. Brian, actually, Megan, if you shuffle over a little bit, then we can fit Brian on the end here. Okay. Brian says is on his phone at the moment. He's on his phone, and he says, I promise I'll do my homework tomorrow. Yeah. And we say, how do we know you're going to do your homework tomorrow? And he goes, whatever. Whatever. All right, so we've got four different types of promises. Now, when someone promises something, they've got to do it. But some promises are more serious than others. So Josh, how do we know he's serious? He says, cross my heart, hope to die. Megan has put it in writing. Chris is getting ready for his marriage. He's kind of put on his mourning suit and he's got everyone here to witness it. And Brian is on his phone and he says, whatever. All right. Now, can we text in order of how serious we think those promises are? Which do you think are the most serious? Which do you think are the least serious? If you want to put your name on the end, we'll know who's coming in. And Sharia, are you going to come up and tell us what the different answers are? Which one? So hold it up nice and high. So we're going to go from least serious. So if you think Josh is the least serious, put in the A. If you think Brian is the most serious, is the least serious, start with D. So let's put them in order, and we can have 30 seconds. So least serious first, through to the most serious in order. All right, let's see what we got. Okay. All right, we got some people who are really quick at texting. All right, Sheree, are we getting some answers in yet? This phone hasn't been used in years. It's never had this many text messages ever. All right. Sorry, Donna? So A is, I'll give you £10, cross my heart, hope to die, if you eat the worm. B is the scroll, it's a legal document saying I'll pay you back £15 next week. C is the wedding. D is, I'll do my homework tomorrow, whatever. Sheree, what kind of answers have we got?
Okay, the first answer.
Sorry.
It's anonymous.
Oh.
Is going for D A B C.
Ooh, D A B C. Interesting. What do we think?
Okay. That's somebody's number ending 4614.
Is there a general consensus coming out here?
That's good. They're coming in thick and fast.
Okay. Well, is that generally the consensus? Do we think that's about right?
Let's have a look.
Yeah.
We've got a. Oh, I'm replying to one of them. Sorry. We've got, whoa, my gosh, your top-up balance is £9.90.
Okay, we'll come back to this in a minute. But keep that number in your phone because we'll have another go at this and seeing something similar in a minute. But should we see if we reckon that's right? So Brian says, so we think D is the least serious. We ask, how can we be sure that Brian is serious? He goes, whatever, there's no way to hold him to that. He ought to keep his promise, but we don't really think he's likely to. Okay, so let's see if we can work out how to pin that up. Thank you, Brian. There we go. Brian, will Annette allow you on a chair? Is that, okay. So we think D is not that serious. There's no way of holding him to it. A. Oh, Josh sounds quite serious, doesn't he? I mean, do we really think he's going to give us £10 if we eat a worm? But he's called down in the Bible what's called a curse. He said, if I don't keep promise, you can poke your finger in my eye. I mean, that sounds quite serious, doesn't it? Okay. What about Megan? Megan's put it in writing. That is quite a big deal. It means that next week when we say, well, come on, pay up, we've got a bit of paper. If she says, no, I never said that, we've got a bit of paper that says, yes, you did. And we can send around the bailiffs or whatever we need to do. Fantastic. Okay. But then Chris is really taking it seriously. There are every way that he can think of to show that this is a big deal. He's put on special clothes. He's invited all his friends and family. And he's getting married. And when you get married, you have a marriage certificate. So this is mine and Nikki's. We've both signed it. There are witnesses who've signed it. The vicar who married us signed it. So if, God forbid, I ever turned around to Nikki and said, I've had enough. I didn't promise I was going to stay with you for the rest of my life. She can turn around and say, yes, you did. That is exactly what you promised. I've got a piece of paper and several hundred witnesses who prove that you did. Right? That is a serious promise, isn't it? In Bible language, that is a covenant. Brilliant. Guys, that was fantastic. Thank you very much. Should we... if we put these up, that'd be great. And then we can remember what they... So, do it again. D, A, B, C. That'd be we'll remember them. That's fine. Thank you. We'll be all right there. Thank you so much. Hello, Matthew. Right, you're going to go back to Mummy. Well done, Matthew. You're going to go with Brian. Well done. Okay. Thank you, Brian. Now, the thing is, our passage in the Bible today is all about God making huge promises. So he promised Abraham he would be an amazing reward. I'll give you a great reward. I'm your shield and your defender. And the problem is time is running out for God to keep his promises because Abraham is an old man and his wife isn't much younger. And he says to God, God, what good would a reward be to me? I've got no one to pass it on to. And he's saying, how can God possibly keep his promises? And God repeats those promises again. He says to Abraham, that slave, this chap, Eliezer of Damascus, will not be the one to inherit what you have. You will have a son of your own, and your son will inherit what you have. And then God said, look at the sky. There are so many stars you can't count them, and your descendants will be too many to count. All right, so let's do a bit of another thing with that number. Okay, if you are, shall we say, six or under, this one's for you. You've got 30 seconds to text it in. Sheree, have we still got the phone somewhere? Should we find out what the top-up balance is again? Okay, I'm going to put this on, and we've got 30 seconds to tell me how many stars there are. So first person to text that in to Sheree. If you are six or under, can you find someone nearby with a phone? How many stars are there? Can you text it in? Who's going to text it to Sheree first? And put your name on it so we know who it is.
Oh, we've got one.
We've got one? Sheree, I'm so sorry. This is really unfair.
We have hundreds of messages coming.
Okay, should we try and establish at the we'll try and establish at the end who the winner is? All right, we'll have one for the grown-ups. All right, Nikki's got the phone, so who knows what's going to happen now? Okay, let's see how good we are at counting. All right, how many are? Sorry,
seven.
Someone said there are seven there.
11.
And who said that?
Me.
I think it was Katie.
Katie, you are not seven. That is a nice try, but you're not getting. Megan, you're not seven either. You're so not seven. Okay, all right, well, we'll work out some winners for that later. All right, let's try. If you're a bit older, do you want to try texting into Sheree? We'll see if we can work this out. Okay, everyone else, how many stars are there? You've got 30 seconds. Closest answer wins. Sorry? 15? Oh, move D, sorry. 33. Someone's texted 33. 5, 4, can anyone get a closer answer in than that? 2, 1, how many we got? Someone's saying 33, who's, say?
3, 2, 6, 1.
Someone ending 3, 2, 6, 1, there's a prize in this, if anyone gets, anyone want to admit to it? 3, 2, 6, 1? Who takes it in 3, 2, from 3, 2, 6, 1?
07, 8, 7.
Oh, Megan got it. Brilliant. Megan, well done. Okay, so that if you're the closest, so there's 35 there. Okay, all right, we ready? We're going to do one more of these. All right. Ready to do some counting? Go. Okay. Can we see the point? God says to Abraham, you will have as many stars as there as many. When you can count all the stars, then you'll be able to count how many descendants you have. You're not just going to have one son. You will have more descendants than you can possibly imagine. Everyone who trusts in God, you will be their spiritual father. And you will have an amazing number of biological children as well. And we read Abraham believed God, and the Lord accepted Abraham's faith, and that faith made him acceptable to God. That's a hugely important verse. We're coming back to it in a moment. God promises him the land as well. He says, I'm the Lord who led you out of Ur of Babylonia. I did that so I could give you this land to own. Here is where Abraham ends up. Abraham ends up saying, Lord God, how can I be sure? How can I be sure that I will own this land? And we read that and we hear that, and the first thing we think is that sounds like Abraham doubts God. I don't think that is it at all, is it? See, if you doubt God's promises, you laugh at them, you mock them. But Abraham wants to believe, and he wants to know for sure that this is true. And if you are here this morning, whether you call yourself a Christian or not, isn't that the cry of your heart? How can I be sure that God is serious about his promises? And we're going to think about that more in a moment. But first, one of the interesting things about this passage is that Abraham is speaking to God as his friend. And we think Abraham is a sinner. We've seen that lots of times. He's done lots of things wrong. How can he be God's friend? And we've just read, the Lord accepted Abraham's faith, and that faith made him acceptable to God. So Abraham trusted God's promises that he would forgive everyone who trusts in him. Well, we've got our second reading now.
Well, continuing. But Abram said, Lord God, how can I be sure that I will own this land? The Lord said to Abram, bring me a 3-year-old cow, a 3-year-old goat, and a 3-year-old male sheep. Also, bring me a dove and a young pigeon. Abram brought them all to God. Then Abram killed the animals and cut each of them into two pieces. He laid each half opposite to the other half, but he did not cut the birds in half. Later, large birds flew down to eat the animals, but Abram chased them away. As the sun was going down, Abram fell into a deep sleep. While he was asleep, a very terrible darkness came. Then the Lord said to Abram, you can be sure that your descendants will be strangers and travel in a land they don't own. The people there will make them slaves, and they will do cruel things for them for 400 years. But I will punish the nation where they are slaves. Then your descendants will leave that land, taking great wealth with them. Abram, you will live to be very old. You will die in peace and will be buried. After your great-great-grandchildren are born, your people will not come to this land again. It will take that long, because the Amorites are not yet evil enough to punish.
Strange reading, isn't it? I'm so sorry if anyone's here as a vegetarian. There's something strange going on. Why is Abraham chopping up bits of animal? Well, the answer is he was making a covenant. Because in Abraham's day, lots of people couldn't read, write. There was no paper around to make legal documents. So if you wanted to make something absolutely certain and you wanted to hold someone's their word, they didn't sign a document. You had a ceremony, a special ceremony called a covenant ceremony. You literally cut a covenant. And if you want to know how we know that, you might like to read Jeremiah chapter 4 in the Bible a little bit later. Sorry, 34 a bit later. But I wonder if the easiest way to explain it is for us to have a covenant ceremony right now. And like I said, we won't ask for volunteers. Scott, do you want to come on up? And Scott and I are going to make a covenant. So let's say I am thinking to myself, I want to go on the weekend away. I'm really excited about it. But if I get my form in, what if there's no one there I know? Or what if there aren't very many other people there? So I'm going to make a covenant. I'm going to get my form in, and Scott is going to do the same. All right. Now the way we go about this is we show we are really serious by chopping up an animal. So what we're going to do is, Scott, can you hold Big Ted for a moment? You got Big Ted. All right. All right, Big Ted. I'm sorry, we've risk assessed this. It's fine, except for Big Ted. All right. That's quite. Maybe, you sure? I think he's not. I don't think these are big enough. Trevor, you're right. Thank you very much. All right, let's do this properly. Health and safety. We got the jacket. I think we're going to need a bit of. We're going to need to do this properly. Gabriel, you might want to just go and sit with Mummy for a moment. All right, Trevor. Thank you very much. Okay, Scott, you hold. All right. Okay. Okay. We're gonna. Scott, can you? Do you want to take Big Ted's head?
Okay.
All right. Trevor's got the chainsaw. All right. There we go. All right. Should we have a bit of a countdown? All right. All right. Okay. Should we count down? 5, 4, 3, 2. Oh. Wait. So if we just pause for a moment. Who thinks we should do it? Who thinks we're going to end up on the front page of the Sentinel tomorrow if we do this? Yeah, all right, let's do it. Trevor, thank you very much. We'll, now, there are quite a lot of people looking a little bit traumatized right now. I did this with a youth group once, and like these big, tough teenagers screamed when they saw where this passage was going. We'll stop. What we'll do instead, all right, Scott, could you, if you could hold the sheep. All right, we'll do it this way. Okay. There we go. All right, so we cut it in half, and we're going to put these up here. Oh, I'm so sorry, Gabriel. I'm sorry. I so did not think this one through properly, did I? Okay, there we go. So we got the sheep. I'm sorry, Gabriel. We're about to make it a bit worse. We've got a cow as well. Oh, so, Gabriel, do you want? Okay, Gabriel, you look after the cow. Gabriel's had a reprieve. Well done. The cow's been saved. Okay. Now, what are we doing, Scott? We need to make this covenant. So what we're going to do is Scott and I are going to walk between the pieces of the animal. We're making this covenant that we are going to get our forms in for the weekend away. So we're going to walk forward. And we walk between the pieces of the animal, and we are saying as we do that, if we break this covenant, may we be cut in two like these animals. Tell you what, right now, I feel like it's quite an urgent priority to get my form in. We feel traumatized almost cutting up a cuddly toy. How do we think Abraham felt doing it for real? With those animals, there is something very, very serious and weighty about that. He would never forget that day. That there's a language of dread darkness coming over him. This is very, very serious stuff. Scott, thank you so much. Sorry to stitch you up with that. And let's make sure we get our forms in. But I wonder, when we hear that, we think, how extraordinary that what happens in our passage is that God makes a covenant with Abraham. God is free. God can do whatever he wants. That is part of what it means to be God. And yet he ties himself to a promise with Abraham. If you're a Harry Potter fan, this is the unbreakable vow, isn't it? It's a godly version of the unbreakable vow that Snape makes. It's the vow that if you break it, kills you. And God makes this vow with Abraham. It's not that He makes his promise more certain. How could that be? But he wants to make us more certain about his promises. He is utterly serious about keeping his word. And it might be that we're just thinking, I wish I had a promise like that. I wish God would do some kind of ceremony, and maybe without the kind of blood and gore, but I want a ceremony where I can be certain that God is serious about his promises to me. And if you're thinking that, can I ask, what do you think we're doing every time we take bread and wine at communion? Why has God given us bread and wine? It is, in a sense, a bloody, gory ceremony. As we drink the wine, we speak of Jesus' blood. As we eat the bread, God is saying to us, just as I give you bread to sustain you physically, I will keep you going through everything in life. If I poured out my life for you, is there anything I will hold back from you? And we ask ourselves as we read this, could God do anything to make his commitment to his promises more serious? Could he do anything to reassure us even more? Actually, astonishingly, the answer is yes. As we ask what more could God do, there is one more thing. And we'll see that in a moment.
The sun went down and it was very dark. Suddenly, a smoking firepot and a blazing torch passed between the halves of the dead animals. So on that day, the Lord made an agreement with Abram. The Lord said, I'll give this land to your descendants. I'll give them the land between the river of Egypt and the great river of Euphrates. This is the land of the Kenites, Kenizzites, Kadmonites, Hittites, Perizzites, Raphaites, Amorites, Canaanites, Girgashites, and Jebusites.
To get that on your first reading on the rota, that is amazing. There we go. We put our sheep back up. There we go. Right. Now, that final bit of the reading gets even stranger. And what is a very strange passage, even stranger things happen. We're told that what passes in the middle of the pieces is a smoking fire pot and a blazing torch. Now, I don't know what a smoking fire pot is, but I think it's pretty cool. And I like the sound of it. I think I quite like one. But so the closest thing I could find was I borrowed from the cobbles. And so here is our blazing fire pot. All right. And listen to what happens. The sun went down and it was very dark. Suddenly a smoking firepot and a blazing torch passed between the halves of the dead animal. So on that day the Lord made an agreement, literally cut a covenant with Abraham. And the Lord said, I'll give this land to your descendants. So God tells Abraham the timescale he's working to. And it is much longer than Abraham could have imagined. 400 years before his people would inherit the land. God is not like me. People often say, Simon, you're always in a rush. God is never in a rush. And he is working to a much bigger time frame than we can imagine. When it feels like things are falling apart in our lives, and we ask, can we trust God's promises? He's serious about his promises. He is. But he's working to a different time frame to us. We say, how can we be absolutely certain he's serious about his promises? Well, there is something strange about that covenant ceremony, because something is wrong there, something is missing. When you cut a covenant like Scott and I did, two people walk through the middle of the covenant, both parties walk through. But in this covenant, something strange happens. Only the fire pot goes through. Abraham doesn't. So the smoking fire pot, as far as in the Bible, is a representation of the presence of God, passes between the pieces of the animals. And we ask, what on earth is that about? And you can tell me if I'm overreading this, I'm reading too much into it. But isn't God saying, actually, this covenant is one-sided? There will be obligations on Abraham. We'll see that next week. But actually, he's saying, if either of us break this covenant, the curse will fall on me. And the curse is a terrible one. Remember, Abraham had to drive away the wild animals. The worst baddies in Israel's history died and were eaten by wild animals. And God says, that curse will fall on me. And that means it is absolutely unconditional. It is certain. It will be fulfilled. There is no way this covenant can be broken. And we say, well, God, are you absolutely serious about this? How can we be sure? And we think, well, how would that even work? How can the God who is immortal, the God who lives forever, the God who cannot die, how can he die? It just doesn't sound right. How could God take a curse for covenant breaking from Abraham's family? Well, we read those verses earlier from Galatians chapter 3. Paul goes on and to say just after that, the law put a curse on us, but Christ took away that curse. He changed places with us and put himself under that curse. It's written in the scriptures, everyone whose body is displayed on a tree is cursed. Christ did this so that God's blessing promised to Abraham might come to those who are not Jewish. This blessing comes through Jesus Christ. Jesus died so that we could have the Spirit that God promised and receive this Spirit by believing. So 2,000 years after Abraham had this covenant ceremony with God, after the torch passed between the pieces of the animal, as God said, I will take on the consequences of this covenant being broken by either party, the Lord Jesus was stretched out on the cross, and there he took the curse that you and I deserve. The immortal God who cannot die died and took the punishment for breaking that covenant. See, God is saying to you this morning, I am utterly serious about my promises. I am utterly committed to them. And there are people who worry. It sounds arrogant to say, I know I'm going to heaven. I know I can trust God. Actually, that is exactly what Paul said, isn't it? As we read at the start, I'm convinced that nothing can separate us from the love of God. Maybe you're here this morning, you're trusting Jesus, you're a Christian, but it's so hard. There's just this disconnect between what we read promised in the Bible and what we see in our lives around. And he is saying, you can trust me. I am utterly serious. And maybe you're here looking into Christian things. You're not quite sure yet whether you really can trust God. You know there's a God. You know he's there. You're hearing a little bit about what he's like. He sounds amazing, but can we really trust him? Is he utterly committed to his promises? He could not be more committed to his promises. Amen.